Alex Gardner has a unique talent. And even he doesn't know what it can do.
No one has ever done it before. No one has even conceived of doing it before.
You're going into another person's dream. You might have to see that, David.
He is about to enter a world that no one has ever seen before. The world of your dreams.
There's somebody in my dreams.
Who?
An awful, ugly monster.
There's nobody there.
Are you sure, Alex? He's always...
It's a dream, Alex. Do anything you want in here.
Dennis Quaid, Kate Capshaw, Dreamscape. When you close your eyes, the adventure begins.
In the course of history, philosophers have always questioned, what is reality? Camus, Heidegger, Jung, lots of other people I can't think of right now. But philosophers have always wondered, what is reality? What is the action room? Is there truly something morally good, or are values not necessarily intrinsic? Is a podcast... If a podcast falls in the forest, does anyone hear it?
Definitely not the action room.
If we produce a podcast and no one listens, are we producing a podcast?
Are you just asking me to pinch you, Tony? Is that what you want? Wake up, Tony.
I'm in a philosophical mood because we saw Inception, which we will talk about later.
Kim Rogers.
Yes, but first, let us introduce ourselves. This is the philosophy symposium known as the action room.
Yes, and I'm producer Mike.
And I am Professor Tony Wolf. We, here at the Action Room, we deal in the world of geek, pop culture, philosophy, and 17th century writings.
All right. Well, as many people as we got last week because of our Olivia
Munn.
We're losing them all right now. But I just want to say our Olivia Munn episode did an amazing job. We've never gotten this many hits on our site.
It is amazing what just the name and actually having an interview with a true celebrity.
I'm hoping a lot of you have come back to our episode, to our show.
And that was just the audio of the interview.
Right. Our video will be up kind of, depends on when you're listening to this, but it will be up Wednesday this week.
Right.
So you can finally see... what you heard.
See the lovely Olivia Munn, because although the audio is important, you want to see her too. I know you do.
It's also interesting what people now expect from listening and what they think they'll be seeing.
Yes.
You know?
Part where I detonate an explosive and blow up all of Midtown Manhattan, we edited that out.
As far as the show went, I was trying to explain to Tony, what is the first rule of Fight Club? No, what is the first rule of success?
I don't know, Producer Mike. I'm a professor of philosophy, but I don't know the first rule.
I shouldn't say the first rule. What's the first indication that you get successful?
I don't know. Can you tell me?
People start hating you. And we have finally gotten to that point, and I am so excited.
Are you saying we have haters?
We have haters.
Haters, back off.
But I just want to say, first of all, thank you to the haters, because that means you actually acknowledge us. And I'll just remind...
And you care enough to even have a negative opinion.
In most cases... We have worked very hard at getting haters, okay? I just want to say that. And so somebody like a Howard Stern, a lot of his success came from people hating him.
Yeah.
A lot of any success nowadays is all about people commenting on how much they hate something.
Right.
But you know what? It's better than getting no comments at all. So I just want to applaud them and applaud ourselves for getting to that point.
Right.
And we have a shout-out to one of our first haters, someone who we did support.
I was surprised at this. We don't know the individual's name. But it's a guy who runs an account on Twitter called Comic Wallet, @ComicWallet.
Yeah, we're going to eat, but you know what? That's how good we are. We're still going to plug your site, comicwallet.com. Go there.
No, it's not. I don't know if it's comicwallet.com.
No, it is comicwallet.com.
Oh, okay. So this guy makes wallets. He's a Canadian.
Yeah, that's the thing that pisses me
off.
We
have supported him from day one. We have retweeted and promoted his wallets, and he talks shit about us.
And we love Canadians.
Yes, we love Canadians.
So tell us, okay, what was the Twitter? Explain
what... We are not on iTunes. We do call ourselves a podcast. We do not have an RSS feed because we didn't want to create a blog. We may do some sort of summary blog of episodes in the future. But anyway, producer Mike's vision of the show is that he wanted to do something different. He wanted to innovate and not...
Excuse me for trying to do something different. If Chris Nolan does it, it's cool. But if producer Mike does it, it's not cool.
We're not on iTunes because we always wanted to drive all traffic through our site. And if you click once on iTunes and subscribe to something, you never have to put any effort in. You never have to say, go to the actual website. And
I will just say, as crazy as that sounds, especially with the example of our last episode, the conditioning is working. And people are coming to the site.
If you on our show, it's like when Disney only releases Bambi every 6 years and you can only buy it on DVD for, you know, a 6 month window. The only way to get our show is to come here to our site, which has a logo on it, and a play button. It's very simple.
And it makes us it makes that experience of listening to our show that much more special.
A little more intimate. We want to call it's like the World Cup. You have to put in a little effort and show up, and you can listen twice a week on Mondays and Fridays. So in any case, and if the you know as the site grows, we want to maintain the control over our site and who, you know, coming to it and everything. So, in any case, people always say, why aren't you on iTunes? Why aren't you on iTunes? We're not on iTunes. Deal with it. We may eventually...
And you were explaining that to somebody on Twitter.
I was explaining that very politely, giving our standard... You know, I said we... what did I say? I think I said... we're concentrating on our own website first, or I said something.
Whatever. Anyway, the Comic Wallet guy responds to
this. This was a conversation with another guy,
by
the way.
He just chimes in.
This was Rodimus Prime, I believe, who also has a podcast.
Okay, but, well, the Comic Wallet guy, though, said...
Comic Wallet guy interjects.
Yeah.
And when I said, we're just doing our website...
This is what he says.
He writes, bah-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha! He writes, bah-ha-ha-ha-ha, laughing at us. Tell you what, you Yanks beta test it for us, then send it north once the kinks are worked out. Deal?
As if we're some amateurs, we don't know how to do this or something. It's like, okay, so I said...
And I don't even know if Comic Wallet has ever even listened to our show, but we've promoted his stuff.
We promoted him, you know, early on. We were all about his comic wallets. So I said back to him, I said, only if you Canucks...
Canucks.
Canucks. Because he's Canadian. Only if you Canucks can make a wallet worth buying.
Yeah, snap! I mean, it was just a little unnecessary. We're having a conversation with another guy. He jumps in and makes fun of us. It was just a little unnecessary. We don't do that to people. Yeah. We don't insult people.
But you know what? This is the type of people we are. We're going to promote you, and we did not unfollow you. But we just wanted to make a point.
That's right. We had a meeting. I went to producer Mike, and we had a conference. And I was like, should we unfollow? I have half a mind to unfollow them.
But anyway, more than anything else...
If you want to clarify Comic Wallet, I thought maybe he was responding to something else, but I couldn't think of anything else that I had written.
But all in all, it's fine. We're just kind of jesting for the most part, and we are happy.
We're digesting?
Yes, we're digesting.
Okay.
We're
jesting. Okay.
court
jester. I just didn't get that.
We're just happy to have people even give a shit, even if they hate it. So this is awesome.
And
so
if you only want the Action Room and iTunes, then you can't have it.
Right. Yeah, no, it's like we're not going to do everything you want, Comic Wallet.
Like producer Mike said, we're the hot girl.
Yeah.
You might have to pursue us a little bit, you know.
We've had
years and years of being obscure and struggling. Believe me, we struggled. Struggled.
Oh, yeah. We did struggle. We're still
struggling. It's not like we're on top of the world now, but you know, we really try to promote other people. I try to be very generous, and we want to support good work.
Yeah.
So don't make fun of us for not being on iTunes, or if you do, prepare to feel our wrath.
Yeah. And I still love Canadians, though.
Yes.
And
they're very smart
and
talented.
And I still love comics, and I still love wallets.
But not necessarily.
Comic wallet.
Anyway.
All right.
So, we were very excited and very thankful for all the attention the Olivia Munn interview got us. And,
and that includes people that hate us. That's
right.
All.
We're working hard to make a good show for you. And, of course, entertainment is not worthwhile if it's not heard by the masses, if it's not experienced. So we're just trying to get it out to you, people.
Awesome. All right. So let's take a break. When we come back, Kim Rogers joins us to review Inception.
Inception. Well, ready to get incepted. Remember that old commercial? You sank my battleship.
I do, Tony.
Well, there is an amazing new website, and it has nothing to do with battleship. But it is called YouBentMyWookie.com.
That sounds wrong.
You Bent My Wookie. What if my Wookie got bent? What would happen?
I don't know, but it doesn't. It seems like you'd be.
I'd be in pain somehow.
Out of commission for a while.
Oh, yeah, gosh. Please don't bend my Wookiee action listeners, but go to this amazing pop culture website with all the latest news in geek culture, toys, and collectibles. YouBentMyWookiee.com.
And you know what they have right now?
Oh, yeah?
An exclusive. And those are important for websites.
Exclusive, yes.
An exclusive
interview. No one else has this.
No one else. An interview with Corey Edwards, who's directing the Fraggle Rock movie.
Oh, my God.
I loved Fraggle Rock as a kid.
Oh, I completely love Fraggle Rock. Right. Gobo Moki Wembley Booba Red.
All right, so...
So my Wookiee is bent.
It is.
Ow!
Bend your Wookiee and go to YouBentMyWookiee.com.
All right, action fans, welcome back. We have returned in the action room, and we have with us our regular movie and TV and all-around entertainment correspondent, Kim Rogers.
Woo!
Do you ever get tired of the applause, Kim?
No, I really don't. I live for the applause.
Now, I just want to say that Kim watched Inception. You saw it on Friday.
I saw it Friday afternoon at 3:30.
Did you get out of work? What's happening? You
have summer
hours? I have summer
Fridays. I get out by 3.
Now you saw that's the main one we're going to review, but you actually saw two others.
I also saw Despicable Me this weekend and The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
So before, I think just give a real quick wrap of those two.
Despicable Me is adorable. Absolutely. I want little yellow minions to follow me wherever I go.
I've heard a lot of women loving the cute little yellow minions.
Oh, it's so cute. And I
Are
did
they
going to
make plush dolls of them?
I'm sure they will.
And this was in 3D?
Yes, I saw it in 3D. The 3D in this was wonderful. 3D for animation, I'm all for.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Sorcerer's Apprentice, I put it below the National Treasure movies.
Okay.
But it's not awful.
Okay, so but Cage is good in it?
Cage is good. Cage is kind of going the same kind of nutty persona that he did in Kick-Ass, you know.
How's Jay Baruchel?
He's really good.
As Mickey Mouse.
Right. Yeah, well, in that segment that they recreate the Sorcerer's Apprentice from Fantasia is really fabulous.
Cool. Okay.
So, you know.
Now, I just want to go back to Despicable Me. It's not the Pixar level, is it? Not that I expect it to be. I just want to get that out there.
Not quite the Pixar level. I mean, the animation is fabulous, but still, like we always say, the Pixar strength is
the
screenplay.
By the way, speaking of animation, and I forget the name of this one, but there's a new one with Johnny Depp doing the voice. He's a lizard.
Rango?
Yes,
I think
it's called Rango.
That is the most incredible animation I've ever seen. It's like, it looks like the animals look real. It's like so fucking incredible.
Yeah,
like,
I haven't seen
I think I saw
a snippet or something, but I haven't watched the full trailer yet.
I was blown away. And I don't know who does that.
There's going to be a sequel sponsored by Dodge called the Dodge Durango.
Yes.
All
right, so before Tony does too much stand-up here.
Now, before Inception, we're going to go to Inception now. I just want to tell you that I am not really here, and none of us are actually here in the Action Room studio, and we'll leave it up to you to figure out if this you're not even listening to the Action Room right now. I want you to question, listener, your entire existence.
This whole segment this whole segment is your subconscious right now.
Yes.
Yes. So I will say the movie's been messing with my head all weekend.
When you hear Kim, producer Mike, and myself, it is really your tortured mind speaking. So we're like your id, ego, and
super ego.
Super ego. All right. So having said that, who should go first?
Kim was here for this purpose.
Right.
So. I loved it. I really did. I thought behind Toy Story 3, for me, it would be the movie of the summer.
Okay.
I thought it was a very grown-up movie that made you think, which is a lot to ask for a summer movie.
Definitely.
You know, I thought it was a great follow-up to The Dark Knight for Chris Nolan. I thought the visuals were fantastic. I can't even talk about the plot.
I just want to say real quick, did it live up to your expectations?
I think it did. I wasn't coming in all like, oh my God, you know, whatever. I was just expecting a good movie, because Chris Nolan is very consistent in delivering really good movies.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is true. And we did have a discussion. We're going to keep this pretty much spoiler free.
Well, because it's...
So that you can enjoy it.
How can we not keep it spoiler-free?
Yeah, it's a little too complicated, other than like just talking about individual sequences.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It was so funny because Tony emailed me on Friday because he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to see the movie, and he was like, can we keep it spoiler-free? And I was like, Tony, I don't even know how I would be able to spoil it.
Right. So now, and we didn't totally plan this, but me and Tony actually did end up seeing it right before we're recording now, so it's fresh in our mind.
Yes, we literally just saw it an hour ago.
And,
nice.
Now the only problem is, and this should
it
make,
took 4 hours.
This should
but.
Make yeah. This should make for an interesting segment. I did not like it.
And, really?
And I don't know. You know, I can say that just like as a main kind of
theme.
You know, yeah. Just yeah. I have a lot of things I want to say about it, but right. Go ahead, Tony. What
I thought I didn't love it. I thought decent, extremely well made. It has that Christopher Nolan mark of the stamp of slick, brilliant, smart. Filmmaking, I think the conceit of the film and the concept of the film is great. I applaud his innovation. I applaud.
It's very ambitious.
I applaud
for sure.
His ambition and his attempt to create a whole world. The concept is a great, smart, high concept. Producer Mike reminded me that this same concept was used in Dreamscape, right?
Well, Dreamscape, I was also going to say.
1984 or whatever.
Movie. I liked this movie last year when it was called Shutter Island. That's what
that wasn't even last year. It was this March.
Year.
I mean, Leo but. Was essentially playing almost the same kind of role. Yeah.
And not only the same role, kind of the same concepts were
yeah.
in there. You know?
I would agree. I was thinking about that this morning.
I haven't yet seen Shutter Island, but I'll take your word for it.
And the one other thing I will say is that with Dreamscape, which is a movie from 1984 with Dennis Quaid.
Martin Short also? No.
No, not at all. It's a drama where they have to.
Was in there.
No. Dennis Quaid plays a guy who. What's a recent Dennis Quaid movie? So just for people that
like
know.
The Rookie.
The Rookie. Okay.
Yeah. Dennis Quaid's amazing.
Yeah,
but we like him.
He basically played someone who could get into people's dreams. Did you ever see this movie? Kim?
No.
Okay.
It's a big
this was an awesome
yeah.
movie. You could get into people's dreams, and there was an evil kid who worked for the company, and Dennis Quaid was the good one. And they had to the evil guy was told to kill the president. He had to go into the president's head and kill him. You know, it's a little different in Inception, but in Dreamscape, when you kill the person in the dream, they do die
mm-hmm.
in real life.
Yeah. So that was the whole point. So he had to fight this guy. And there's this awesome sequence on a subway where the evil guy, who was also the guy from The Warriors, and he was also in 48 Hours. I forget the guy's name. He's the guy that goes, "Warriors, come out and play." That guy. So
creepy.
He's totally creepy. And but he has this whole sequence on a subway where he does nunchucks, like glow in the dark, kind of a Bruce Lee thing. It's awesome.
No CGI, I'm assuming.
No CGI.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no.
Now, I think just to clarify my own insanity and my subconscious, I think there was some other Martin Short, Dennis Quaid, 80s comedy.
Right. It was
movie.
Called like Inner Space.
Inner Space. That's
yeah.
like Dreamscape Space. Anyway, yeah. Inner whatever.
And I would like to see Dreamscape. That would be a really cool one
to remake.
Yeah. That
all right.
As opposed to remaking Arthur, which they're now doing with Russell. Brand?
No.
Well, I have
Dudley Moore, come on. You can't touch
no,
that
I agree.
Shit.
Arthur will always be a classic, but I have to say, if they have to pick somebody, that guy
right.
is
okay.
kind of good.
So let's bring it back to
Inception.
So
you would fall in the middle between me and producer Mike about your feelings
like,
about the movie?
I'm closer to Mike. Like, I think it's a decent...
There are flaws, for sure.
I just feel
and
that...
I don't necessarily think it's a masterpiece, like so many people are saying. Did you see that on IMDb, it's already in the top 100?
And people are saying it's like Kubrick's 2001.
No, I totally disagree with that.
Right. I think the concept is great.
Is awesome.
It has Christopher Nolan is undoubtedly a very smart, intelligent filmmaker. The filmmaking is very good.
Great actors.
Great actor. An amazing cast he's assembled. And it has that sort of washed out color palette that he seems to go back to.
Yeah, well, because it's Wally Pfister from The Dark Knight.
Cinematography.
Right. Yeah.
But having said that, I didn't care that much about the characters. I really was never that invested. And it gets so
convoluted.
Now, it's one thing, I applaud movies that make us think. Mm-hmm. I completely applaud that because, as you said, it's the antithesis of most, not only summer movies, but most Hollywood movies.
Most movies yeah. these days,
that are
yeah.
just fucking dumb. Having said that, though, it was just like, I know it was stuff within stuff within stuff within stuff, but I just didn't care that much. It was like a heist film. The pieces were set in place. The engine was constructed. And I kind of got bored halfway through or three-quarters of the way through. The more that they tried to amp the suspense, the more I was like, I don't really care. And the engine is playing itself out. The pieces are all running. But the action sequences were just too long. I was really bored by the end.
For me, it kind of had that, you know, it had a little bit of The Matrix, right? So The Matrix worked in its day in 95 or whatever it was, and it was awesome.
Explain the concept that you're addressing.
Well, the fact that you have a virtual world of sorts. Also, another movie that I loved that and a lot of people didn't like was, or had even seen, was 13th Floor, which came out that same year, which I loved.
No, but I thought you were also addressing the fact that the climax is a dual
here's the thing.
Climax.
Later on, in the second and third Matrix movies, I think the problem was it was just too much, and it was just again with Inception that play off that same thing where you're going from sequence to sequence. All these things are happening at the same time. A battle sequence with like some kind of a puzzle that they have to figure out and all this kind of stuff. But the thing is, it was just too much and too long. And there were a lot of things where, as complicated as it was, it was actually very simple, and because it was so simple, they had to draw stuff out for such lengths of time that it was boring, you know?
I mean, at the core of it, they're in dreams, and they have to do stuff, and there's obstacles in their way, but I just, you know,
and the rules of the world that they live in are constantly changing, so you have to just kind of go with what they're saying.
I think it changes depending on what level you were on, or...
I mean, there were certain consistencies, but all in all, it wasn't enough for me to really... care about what they were doing and what, you know.
Well, that is, it's funny that you said that it's have a hard time connecting to the characters and caring about them, because that's what most of us left saying, even though we were like, that was awesome, because like visually and like stimulating
there's
your
no
mind.
There's no question
and
that
just,
visually it's amazing.
And going with the concept and trying to figure out the concept is what made it so thrilling for me. And there are some sequences that are so breathtaking that I held my breath the entire time. Like the sequence with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, like the first big gravity-defying one in the hotel when the van is spinning around, and
there's another cool thing where
three
reality,
different levels going at the same time, and you're like, this is happening because this is happening three more levels up. And
I mean, the thing is, it's like a movie is not just
its structure or cool visuals.
Yeah, it's not just cool moments. There are a lot of cool moments, but that's not a movie. You know what I mean? That's like a, what would you call that? That was like a reel for some director or something.
Right,
what is that called when they have a reel?
I was going to say a potpourri, but that's not at all what you mean.
One thing I will add to this that
reel,
was interesting.
By the way.
Yeah, no, but it's a certain kind of reel. Oh. It's like a whatever. Anyway.
A fucking cool moments reel.
The thing that was interesting was Levitt, what's his name?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Gordon-Levitt from 500 Days of Summer and 30 Rock. Oh, no, what is it?
Third Rock from the Sun.
We should do a parody.
And 10 Things I Hate About You.
We should do a parody. 30 Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
But anyway, someone's going to make that now.
So anyway, I almost, at a certain point, and this is kind of my issue with Batman a little bit, was that, you know, you have these certain types of movies that are super serious, or some fun drama action movies that have some comedy. This needed more comedy, I felt.
I would agree with that.
And I think
or at least lighter moments.
Yeah, and Christopher Nolan, I think, is capable of that, but I don't know that he that's like his main focus. He likes to really do intense. And I think especially when a film like this takes itself too seriously, you start to really start laughing at it because it's just kind of too ridiculous. And the Levitt, the little
there's a little moment. We don't want to tell him what it is. But
Levitt and
Ellen Page.
Right. I almost cared about their relationship more than anybody else, and I wanted to see more of that, and that was just a little bit of the movie, you know. So when you get to that place where you actually care about the secondary characters a lot more than the main characters, that's
I will
problem.
Also say in a vague way, and this I don't think this is a spoiler, you can edit it out if it's not, 2.5 hours of a guy grieving his dead wife, that's kind of the, you know, I mean, just
it's Shutter
it just
Island
gets old.
Too.
It just gets old. Okay, he's grieving. We get it. She's really pretty. Marion Cotillard is a vision of beauty.
Oh,
in this
and she
film.
Was great. I think
she's
the
super
best
gorgeous.
Female character that Chris Nolan's ever written.
I
sure,
my
he doesn't really do.
He doesn't do there. Good female
There's
characters.
There's Carrie Ann Moss in Memento.
I will say that there is a little bit. More, see, without getting into the spoilers,
I know.
There's a reason why he really can't stop thinking about her. That's
I know,
beyond
but
just,
I'm just
you
saying,
know,
in terms of emotion and motivation.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I just think that the bigger problem wasn't so much, you know, the devices that they used, but just the overall, definitely way too long. They needed to
and
cut
yeah,
that thing
there
up.
There is a thing in suspense, and this is a thing with comedy, too, and we've talked about this sometimes. You can build and build and build and build and create tension, but if you just, it's like sex. If you just have tension and tension and tension and no release for like 3 hours, I mean, maybe that's tantric,
no,
tantric
no.
sex. But I was like, they've been ratcheting up action sequence after action sequence, fight after explosion. There's just so many explosions.
It didn't stop once it started
going. And I was just like, this has been going on for an hour and a half, and something, which I won't tell you, is still falling in slow motion for an hour and a half. And I was like, I've clocked out. I'm, like, uncomfortable in my
seat.
So
by the
time, I'm ready for this shit to end.
Yeah, see?
And by the time you have the release...
And I love suspense. I mean,
I'm just like, I don't care. And there will be one other thing that I don't even want to explain at the end.
But
even the release is questionable.
Yeah. I'll ask if your screening audibly reacted to the end, because ours did.
Yes, definitely.
Not that much.
There was an audible reaction.
But I think the audible...
I've read of other... It's not like everyone in our theater went,
No.
Yeah, some people were like, booed.
Yeah.
I mean, it
people
was...
People clapped, though. We had... Yeah. Overall,
not
people seemed
much,
to like
though.
It. No, but it's definitely no boos. People weren't booing.
Yeah, but I've heard of screenings. I've read reports where people, like, rose to their feet or, like, clapped and, you know.
All I'll say is that I was...
It was more of like, oh, what?
I was not only disappointed by the whole film, I was disappointed by the end. And I can't believe he did that at the end. That's all.
Oh,
I
loved it.
No.
I loved it.
I bought
into the whole movie from the beginning. And, you know, it's either one you buy into or you don't. And I personally bought into it.
Well, I was really into it in the first hour. I was like, this is a great concept. He's setting it up. I'm really curious to see where this goes. And I was totally along for the ride. And I want to love Chris Nolan because I love The Dark Knight. I love Batman Begins. I love most of his films.
You love the soundtrack from the...
Well, it's also the exact same soundtrack as the Batman movie.
That's where we live. My friend Mark Allen was like, I think there was five chords in the entire score. And then I go, most of it was stuff that was left on the cutting room floor of The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
I mean, boo Hans Zimmer. I know you can do better than that.
Even the font at the end when they show the title Inception is the exact font as The Dark Knight, and it happens at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like everything is just, you know, even the posters, by the way, the poster designs... are very similar.
Yeah.
I've seen articles on
that. All I'll say is enjoy it, everyone, because that's the last Chris Nolan movie that won't be in 3D. So enjoy.
Aww.
Yeah, this is very
true. I hope not.
So, and the last thing I'll say is I personally feel that instead of going to this movie, rent Dreamscape. That's
Now, by the way, I just want to throw one more thing in there. It struck me as I watched it that Leonardo DiCaprio kind of looks like Christopher Nolan.
Oh, he totally looks like Chris Nolan.
Like,
there was a thing in EW where they had a picture of them next to each other.
I mean,
other.
Not exactly, but they're the same type. Exactly. Their hair.
Also,
who's
that guy who can kind of change characters?
Tom Hardy
He's
is
a
his
cool
name,
guy.
And I really enjoyed him, and I've never seen him in anything before.
I wanted to say, I'm glad you said that, because one of my other notes was, he is the actor to watch for the next 3 years.
I definitely think so. I was very intrigued by him.
Yes, I loved him. I also, Joseph Gordon-Levitt didn't have a lot to do, and his character was very stoic. But I look forward to seeing Joseph Gordon-Levitt's career blossom even further, and most of you may have heard or read that Christopher Nolan wants to work with Joseph Gordon-Levitt again, possibly in Batman 3.
And I think, this may just be me, he eerily sometimes looks like Heath Ledger.
There's a bit of a facial structure in the eyes and stuff in some pictures.
And I'm like,
I heard this was a heist movie in dreams, and I when you hear a film like that, you're like, oh, this is going to be intense. That intensity just wasn't there for me. That's all.
I think why people are reacting to this movie in the way that they are with the crazy praise. Yeah. I think because people have been starving for something with substance all summer,
and so they get something with innovation
and substance and ambition and asking you to engage instead of sitting there and just watching things blow up.
Yes.
No, I agree.
Or you know, infantile, juvenile humor. Like it's a movie that requires you to engage, and I think that's why people are reacting the way they are, because they're like, finally!
No, I agree.
Something that will give me something to chew on that you can discuss afterwards, and...
Well, it kind of had the same reaction that Shutter Island did.
Yeah.
Where it was kind of like, a lot of people were like, what? And a lot of people were like, well, that's interesting. And, you know, the only thing, the difference between Shutter Island and this is that after the Shutter Island was over, when I heard about things I didn't understand and it started to make sense, people explained things to me, I was like, wow, that's interesting. With this film, I don't even care to understand the stuff that I didn't understand.
Yeah.
It's just too much.
And I will also say, though, like I said, it's a great concept. When the characters spoke about the power of ideas, I was more engaged.
Yeah.
But most of it, whatever.
Anyway, all right, let's go to the break. I'm glad you came, and we had a... Because if it was just us, we would have just totally destroyed it.
Been trashing it.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think it needs to be trashed.
It's refreshing when we don't agree.
I can agree to disagree.
Yes, definitely.
And I think you should see it, Action Room viewer / listener.
Make your own choice.
Make your own choice.
And donate the money if you don't see it to the Action Room.
Kim is pro-choice. Okay, so let's take a break, and after the break, the nerd news.
Okay. You know, seeing Inception and feeling all philosophical and what is reality and what's not reality, it's kind of got me feeling groovy, you know? It's kind of got me feeling psychedelic. And it made me think of when all those old rock stars in the 70s would kind of play shit backwards and you'd hear, like, satanic messages and stuff. So dig this. We're going to lay the nerd news on you in a special way.
That was some evil shit.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
No. All right.
I feel like I want to kill my parents now.
All right. Please don't. Please don't. Let's play it forwards, and playing it forwards will reverse the spell that we just cast.
Nerd News.
All right. I don't want to kill my parents anymore.
That's so good. I'm so glad.
That was an incredible opening. I just wanted to...
we just make these up on the spot, people.
Maybe I, you know, what would have been made Inception great is if Leo just went, "I'm Leo."
Leo.
Instead of Batman. All right, so
that almost sounded like a Stallone voice.
I know, that did. It was very
Stallone-esque. Leo. Hey. All right.
Stallone is Batman. How would that sound?
Oh God.
I'm Batman.
All right.
So, the nerd news, you know, we did the nerd news just several days ago, since we do two shows a week, every Monday and Friday, and sometimes there's not tons of nerd news, but there were some interesting stories for us that we can bring to you.
Well, before, and this was interesting because we Kim saw it on another day than we did.
And right. In a different theater in the same building.
In the same building.
Should we talk about the trailer?
Well, that's
yeah, that's what we're doing.
So we saw the Social Network trailer, the full one.
I'm so jealous!
And you just saw the little teaser.
We only saw the teaser that, you know, flashed up the word. You know, genius, cheater, jerk, blah, blah. And then
Punk,
it had, like,
think,
one shot of Jesse Eisenberg, then it was the tagline, which I think is brilliant.
No, it looks awesome.
You can't get to 500 million friends and without now, making some enemies.
And I'm
haters, in fact.
I'm realizing, you know, before I was like, what the fuck is David Fincher doing a movie about Facebook
well,
for?
Well, didn't everybody have that reaction?
Yeah, but now...
But I trusted when I heard it was
Aaron
Sorkin. Written
by Aaron Sorkin.
But beyond that, I'm realizing what he's tapping into. There are so many people that want to see this movie just because it's about Facebook, you know?
Well, like, isn't Facebook being really bitchy about them advertising on Facebook?
Right. Oh,
I don't
really?
Think
they
they're
don't
allowed.
Let people advertise the Facebook movie on Facebook.
Like,
why
yeah,
not?
They can't have an ad because it paints them in a bad light.
Well, I think there's also a potential, also a legal thing that, like, they don't want to look like they're just promoting themselves even more than they already are. But maybe it's more critical of Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
And
well, I guess that's the thing. I don't know the story really. What.
I don't know the story either. We're seeing the trailer just like
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and it's...
But does it really put them in a bad light?
I think it does. I mean, because apparently they were accused of stealing the idea
from
other people, and, like, friendships got ruined.
Right.
And what's
know.
Funny is Zuckerberg actually issued a statement, or Facebook Incorporated issued a statement, and they said, well, whatever, some people have chosen to make a movie. They've chosen to make a two-hour film about a very brief period in the history of Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, they want to paint it as...
Wasn't it based on a book,
Yeah,
too?
It's based on a book. They just want to be... When it was first created, some stuff happened, but then there were 15 years of amazing, you know, we took over the world, and why do you want to focus on, you know, a little squabble?
Yeah, right?
Well, at least, I think originally the title was going to be Fight Book.
By the way, I just, you know, Facebook, I'm of an age where I remember when colleges actually printed physical Facebook.
Really?
Oh wow!
Yeah, oh
it
yes,
was, it was
did.
Literally. It was a little. It was almost
like
a
directory,
like
almost.
A yearbook, and okay. It was literally everyone's headshots.
Wow.
For all students, but specifically for the incoming students. And literally, what guys would do is they would go, "Let's get out the Facebook." Of course, this is pre-internet.
Find all the hot girls
and look
girls.
At all the hot girls. And literally, I remember passing this around.
Yeah.
You know, so when
you had a bad picture, it was death.
Yeah.
Social
exactly.
suicide.
Now, I just want to say, as a PS to the Inception review, I got very moved, and I was so invested in the 2 minute or 1 minute Facebook movie trailer. I was moved.
It's
my eyes were like watering. I was like, this is so fucking amazing. And Inception did not really move me.
It's a chorus of Creep from Radiohead. That's the song. And it's like,
can we also discuss the fact that Justin Timberlake is playing the founder of Napster in it?
Oh, is that who he is?
That's who he's playing.
Who's that guy's name?
Sean...
Oh yeah, Sean White. Maybe? No,
Fanning.
No, that's the skier.
Fanning.
Sean Puffy Combs.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Something like that. But yeah, I'm very intrigued to see.
I didn't
Justin
know that they
Timberlake
were...
in this movie.
Apparently, he's a very good actor.
I know. That's what
I didn't know that they were contemporaries.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Well,
so maybe he did feel it.
Apparently, Napster guy, since I can't remember his correct name, like encouraged the Facebook people to do stuff, and
to
so
do
he's
thing.
Kind of like a nemesis.
But
slash
he also
evil
nudged,
genius.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You know, so I'm very intrigued by the whole cast. I think
the whole cast
is great.
And the Spider-Man
actor. You'll be seeing
actor.
Your Peter Parker.
Yeah, Andrew Garfield.
Garfield. I already forgot his name.
Heathcliff. David Fincher. It's going to be great.
And it's David Fincher. So, yeah. This could be David Fincher's next mammoth hit film.
Yeah. Well, it's already getting massive Oscar buzz, so maybe he'll finally
and it's
get
also,
the recognition that he deserves.
What's exciting is it's a crop of young, terrific actors that we've really never seen before all that much.
It's going to be a who to watch is in this movie.
Yeah, this will be one of those movies like when you look back at like a diner or something, which like has... Or what's another one like that? What was the one that was about the gang, the kids with Ralph Macchio?
The Outsiders.
The Outsiders, yeah.
Pony Boy.
Or even Breakfast Club or something like that.
Yeah.
Although they didn't really ever go on to anything much.
Oh, sad face.
We love Molly Ringwald, though. She was on Broadway. Okay, anyway.
Next thing is something you know more about. I haven't heard.
In the comic book world, there are rare occasions where censors or the equivalent of studio heads, you know, people who run Marvel, DC, will actually ban stories. A writer comes in with a story, it's too controversial, it would offend the religious right, or something, you'll get it when I tell you the tale. So, shortly before the Columbine incident, a very world-famous writer, comic book writer, prose novelist, Warren Ellis, you would know him because his comic book miniseries, Red, is about to be turned into a film.
Which, that trailer is awesome.
Yeah,
have
awesome.
You seen that one?
Yeah. So anyway, Warren Ellis has been, he's like a Grant Morrison, Alan Moore. He's a genius writer. He's been in the comic book world for many, many years. He was a hot writer, and he was writing Hellblazer, which is the John Constantine comic book that they made that stupid Keanu Reeves
movie
out of. Anyway, he did a story about school shootings. Which obviously, school shootings did not happen before. I mean, they existed before Columbine. But he wrote this apparently very dramatic, very intense, wonderful, deep story, one issue, a one-shot story about school shootings 8 months before Columbine.
Oh, geez.
Then Columbine happened. And stories are always written well in advance for comics because the artist has to take a long time to draw it. DC Comics, the head of DC Comics, Paul Levitz at the time, banned it. He said, Warren, we can't print this. It's too sensitive. The country is really, you know, wounded after Columbine. We need you to rewrite most of the story. And Warren Ellis is very much a journalist, a writer of integrity. And he said, fuck you. You can't censor me. And he's very much, he's a cranky old British guy. And he's a hard-drinking, fuck you kind of guy. And he said, I quit. I quit. I won't write for you anymore. Fuck you. How dare you ask me, just because Columbine happened, my story is offensive to people or whatever.
Right.
It's almost like the Basketball Diaries.
Well,
the fact that they took that movie out of circulation.
Well, and it happened with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. There was a episode where Buffy or someone could read minds, and it was a school shooting kind of situation,
really.
And they had to... I don't think they outright never aired
the
episode, but they delayed the release of that episode.
So what happened? So they didn't ever come out?
It was called Shooter, the story. It was drawn by Phil Jimenez, who's a wonderful artist who illustrated most of Grant Morrison's Invisibles run. The story never saw print. And it was one of about four famous comic issues that were just banned, you know, and never saw print. And most of us sort of had forgotten about it, to be honest. And suddenly, because DC Comics now, after Disney bought Marvel, DC restructured.
Okay.
And they brought in new sort of heads of DC. And some of the old guard were ushered out. Paul Levitz
so
is no longer running
it's coming
DC.
Out.
They just announced that they're going to print a paperback collecting hard-to-find and banned stories.
Oh.
Now, I heard some of these other stories...
This is the only banned story, I believe.
I heard some other stories are kind of interesting that's going to be in the graphic
novel.
Well,
we found out about some other comic book stories that were banned that are going to see print. There was a story from Marvel Comics that was banned. where Spider-Man was going to join 2 Live Crew.
And Luther Campbell, a singer from 2 Live Crew, wrote it, actually. Right. It was a one-shot.
Because their album was banned.
In the USA.
Ba-dum-chi.
Thank
you. Right.
Kim is going to give us her fake laugh, so this
yes.
is continuing.
Okay. All right. We also heard that Salman Rushdie, yeah. author of the Satanic Verses, which, you know, he was a fatwa placed on his life, he wrote a one-shot. Marvel's version of the devil is called Mephisto,
mm-hmm.
and he wrote a one-shot called Mephisto versus the Avengers, Mephisto's Satanic Verses. And Marvel, they were such killjoys, they wouldn't let him print that. I mean, can you fucking believe that?
And somebody drew Muhammad in it, too, I think.
Oh, if they did. Even back then, pre-9/11, hell would have been raised. So, and we also heard that Tim Gunn pitched a series to Marvel where Doctor Doom, he has a ray that makes you gay. He has a gay ray.
Oh, God.
And he wanted to write this story where Doctor Doom turns all the Marvel superheroes gay
yes.
in one big zap, and Marvel wouldn't let him do it.
And the only way they can get out of it is if they get equal rights, but it never happens. So.
They're
stuck being gay. Thank you, Kim, for joining us.
You want to tell our wonderful audience? Oh, we learned a new phrase about Facebook. We can tell you after.
As always, there are new shows every Monday and Friday, and you can join our Facebook and follow us on Twitter The Action Room.
Woo! And the new term we learned is...
Well, we always said become a fan of us on Facebook.
You like it now.
I know, there's like it, but someone at a show we just saw, a theater show, they said fan us on Facebook.
Fan us?
I'm fanning myself
hot?
Right now.
Are you hot?
I'm very hot. We need to turn the air conditioning back
all right.
on.
Now,
okay.
Olivia Munn was nowhere in this episode, but I just want to say her name.
Okay, and all right. And we're out.
Wait. What? What's going on, Tony?
Where are we?
I think we're in the action room.
Was this a dream?
I don't know.
Did we do the show?
I don't know.